Genesis this morning, chapter number 5. Not very far into the book of Genesis, we find a fella by the name of Enoch. We're going to talk about Enoch this morning. Genesis chapter number 5. We're going to start with verse number 21. Genesis chapter number 5. We're going to start with verse number 21. Let's all stand in reverence and respect to the Word of God as we read from Genesis chapter number 5. In verse number 21, Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. I want to talk this morning on this subject, Enoch's walk with God. Enoch's walk with God. Father, thank you so very much for the way you love us. Now, Lord, I ask that you be with each and every person here today. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you open our minds and our hearts to the simple truth and make it personable and personal. Something that we look into our own hearts and lives about. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you be with me as I speak. May my speech be plain and clear. May the thoughts be plain and clear from your word to your people. And Father, I ask that you speak to our hearts and draw us closer to you because we love you so. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. There are only two men in the Bible that have gone to heaven without dying. There are two men in the Bible that have gone to heaven without dying. One's name is Elijah. He's a great prophet that will live much later than the book of Genesis here. And then there's Enoch. Enoch walked with God and was not... Look in verse number 24. And Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. We're not talking about death here. We're talking about him being translated into heaven. Physically taken to heaven without having passed away. There are only two men, like I said, in the Bible. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9 says, and these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in all his generations, and Noah walked with God. So we're talking about not only Noah's walk today, but Enoch's walk. Enoch had a walk. Noah had a walk. Genesis chapter 5 and verse number 22, it says, and Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. And then again, the only other place in the Bible we hear somebody walk with God is in Genesis chapter 5, verse 24, which we just read. And Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. So twice in the Bible we find that Enoch is a man that God says walked with him. What an epitaph. What a statement to leave. When you're gone and your life is finished, when everything's done and when people look at your life, what a wonderful testimony it would be to have them say they walked with God. But what a greater testimony for God to say they walked with me. They didn't walk alone. They walked with me. We walked together. And everything we did together. Doesn't mean we don't make mistakes. Doesn't mean we haven't made errors. It means that we just walked together. We spent time together. Walking together is like being married to someone. You go through the good times and you go through the bad times. You go through the fun times and you go through the not so fun times. It's just that you walked together. You spent time together. You loved each other. You helped each other. So there must be something important that God wants us to know about Enoch's walk. If he talks about that walk two times so that he knows that it's important to him. We know that. Because whenever you repeat something, it's important. It's like when you're yelling at your kid, don't run across the street! No, no, don't run across the street! It's important. And that's why you're yelling it twice. So there are times that we notice that we must learn that there's something important about being spoken to twice. So let me give you some things about the walk. Number one, the beginning of his walk. The beginning of Enoch's walk. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 21, we read this. It says, and Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years. And he begat sons and daughters. So here we see Enoch didn't always have a walk with God. He didn't always have that walk with God. He wasn't born to that walk. He lived 65 years without a walk with God at all. 65 years is a lot of years. And it wasn't until the birth of his firstborn son, Methuselah, that he recognized that, hey, he needed to change his life. I think that happens to us in life. We go through life, we're not really that involved with what's important, and we're doing what we think is important, and we're doing what we want to do, but then that baby comes, that child comes, and suddenly our whole life changes. Everything we thought was important isn't as nearly as important as we thought it was when that baby came. And suddenly, our life changes. We get much more serious about what is important. And we start to leave go of those things that really aren't important. We start to focus on those things that have eternal value. Because we suddenly realize the value of life even more because that life has come into our life and changed our life. I believe that's probably why Methuselah's life changed. I'm sorry, Enoch's life changed with the birth of Methuselah. He was 65 years old. So then that tells me too that you don't have to be a perfect person to walk with God. For 65 years, he didn't walk with God. That doesn't mean he didn't know about God. That didn't mean that he didn't know him personally. Doesn't mean he wasn't saved. It means that he just didn't walk with him. I think there's a difference between knowing God and knowing God. I know the Lord when I get saved. But as I walk with him, I get to know him. There's something that changes. His life was planned for many years on its own, then Enoch's son comes and it changes him. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, it says these words, "By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God." How did Methuselah please God? By walking with him. How can you and I please God? By walking with God. So it's important that we start a walk with God. What would a walk with God mean? That means daily communication with him. Kind of like when you first meet somebody and you start to date them. Now, I don't know what it's like today, but I would imagine it goes something like this. Because it's been a long time since I've had to meet anybody, because I met my wife so long ago that now we're almost as old as mud and dirt when Methuselah was born. And so, but I imagine it would go like this, something like this today. You'd meet each other, you'd talk to each other, and you'd exchange phone numbers, and then you would text each other. And then you'd probably get an email address and start to email each other. And then you might start to call each other once in a while and meet with each other, but in between times it would be texting and emailing. And then it would be texting of pictures and photographs and all sorts of, "Oh, I'm doing this." You might even put a little application on your phone. I don't know, but I would assume that you could put an application on your phone where you could say, "Here I am, come meet me here." And I imagine that you'd start doing all those kind of things. You know what you're doing? You're starting to walk with that person. You're trying to figure out, do I even like this person? Do I want to spend more time with this person? Do I want to invest myself more in this person? So the more that you get to know them, the more you decide whether you want to be with them or not. And you start to decide whether you like being with them. And then what do you have in common? And as that grows, you start to spend more time with them. Then the texts don't become as often as the phone calls start to come. And then the dating continues and develops more and more. And you see more, and you see more, and you see more. And then the texts are more, "I love you," than it is, "Hey, what are you doing? I'm over here, I'm doing that. Did you see this over here? Did you watch that over there? How are you? I love you." That's what it all becomes over time. And why? Because you're getting to know them. You're getting to walk with them. You're spending time with them. And that's what God wants to do with you. He wants to spend time. But God doesn't text. He already did. It's called the Bible. He texted us. He emailed it to us. It's right here. It's called the Bible. So the more I read His Word, the more I'm going to talk to Him. The more I talk to Him, and the more I read His Word, the more He speaks to me through His Word. I start to understand things I never understood before. Why? Because I'm getting to know Him a little bit more. He's getting to know me. You know what he's finding out about me? I'm not nearly perfect. But he already knew that. He already knew that we had errors. He already knew we had problems. But we started a walk. And you can't start a walk without walking with spending some time with God. So we need to, if we want to have a walk with God, we need to schedule time with Him every day. Let me say this. Music's wonderful. I enjoy Christian music. I enjoy listening to the Word of God. But I love to read it as well. There's something about looking at those words, looking up those words, finding out what He really means. You know, when you're dating somebody and they say something to you, you say this to yourself. What did they really mean by that? Have you ever asked yourself that question? What did they really mean by that? Oh, I ask myself that question about God's Word all the time. What did He really mean when He said that right there? Is it what it seemed like on the surface? Because oftentimes, it's not what it seems like on the surface. Because the more we get to know that person, the more we understand their personality. And the more we understand why they're saying what they're saying. Number two, the walk itself. The walk itself. Walking with God would make one know God better. In other words, day by day we get to know the Lord better. Then walking with God means that there's a progress. We're going somewhere together. We're developing a relationship together. In other words, Enoch grew in grace. How do we grow in grace? Growing in grace is not something we earn. It's something that God gives us as a gift. Not because we deserve it, but because we're growing closer to Him. We grow in grace because that grace causes us to get to understand them better. Let me put it this way. You don't feel you're worthy, and neither do I. And we're not. But grace takes that which is unworthy and makes it worthy. So I say, God's so wonderful. Why would He want to spend time with someone like me? I do not know why He'd want to spend time with somebody like me. But I know why He'd want to spend time with someone like you. But when I look at myself, I say, I know what I'm like. And I'm not worth spending that time with. But God says, oh no, I love you. You're important to me. I want to spend time with you. I want you to spend time with me. You're valuable to me. How could I be valuable to you? Look what I've done wrong with my life. And He said, no. I don't care about the wrong. It's been paid for at the cross. And we grow in grace, something we don't deserve. We didn't merit it. We didn't earn it. And you can't earn it. It's just love. Why do you love your child? For no reason at all. That's grace. No reason at all. Explain the love that a parent has for their child. I can't. Explain why it doesn't matter what that child does, good or bad, whether they encourage you or disappoint you make you feel excited or make you feel disappointed. It doesn't matter. Your love for that child never wanes, no matter what, or how big, or how old, or what they may do in life. It never goes away. And then, boop, all of a sudden you got grandkids. And that love for your children is multiplied into your grandchildren. I do not understand that at all. I would think you could love no one more than you love your children. And I remember when our daughter Laura was born, I told my wife, I don't know how I could love anybody more. I don't know how you do that. And then grandchildren came along and I went, oh my goodness. This is an unbelievable love that is totally inexplicable. I call that grace. That's a tremendous illustration of God's grace for you and I. And the more we grow with Him, the more we grow in grace because we understand He loves us for no reason. Not because you're perfect, because we're not. Not because we're beautiful. You may be beautiful, but I'm awful handsome. And we know that it's not because of that. It's not because we're smart. It's not because we've done so many marvelous, miraculous things for God. It's simply because He loves us. And as we get to know Him, it causes us to grow in that grace. That's how we got saved, by grace. Walking with God results in wanting to be with Him. Amos chapter 3 verse 3 says this, can two walk together except they agree? The more you walk with Him, the more our mind is changed towards Him. It's amazing how He does that for us. It's not that we try to change our mind. We just find that spending time with Him starts to change us. You know, each one of us are influenced by somebody. And the more we walk with God, the more He influences our life. And the more our lives change, and our thinking changes, and our application of life changes. Why? Because we've walked with Him. No matter how much you want somebody else to walk with God, they can never walk with God and be what they need to be for God till they walk with God. I know I've prayed for many, many people in my lifetime that they would grow in the grace and the knowledge of the truth. And oh, if I could live their life for them and help them to walk with God, I would. But I can't. You know who can make the difference? God can. So I just need to pray that they develop a walk with God. In Amos chapter 3, can two walk together except they be agreed? No. We know that when we walk with God, we become more like Him. He then, the will of God then becomes more plainer to us and simpler for us to conduct because we walk with Him. No one can walk with God outside the will of God. I'll say that again. No one can walk with God outside the will of God. The more we walk with God, the more we walk in His will. We don't even, so often we get so confused. We think God's will is do this, do this, do this, do this. Don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. That's not God's will. God's will is for us to spend time with Him. God's will for us is to read His Word. God's will for us is to hide it in our heart. God's will for us is to pray. God's will for us is just to spend time with Him. Just being with Him makes a world of difference. And before you know it, as we walk with Him, we're just walking in His will. We didn't even realize it. It wasn't a life-changing event that occurred in our life. I'm never going to do this again. I'm going to do this. It was a growth pattern. And I also notice something that happens. As we walk with someone, we start to act more like Him. We start to talk more like Him. We start to look more like Him. They start to become more part of our life. And instead of fighting them, we embrace them because they become a part of us. And that's what God's will is for you and me. It's for us to become one with Him. The fact is that Enoch walked with God so much and doing God's will so much that God just took him. A little girl said it this way one time. Enoch walked with God and they walked and walked and walked and finally God said, Enoch, I believe we're closer to my home than we are to your home, so why don't you come home with me? What a simple illustration of what it means to walk with God. Enoch even preached the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's an amazing thing. The first coming hadn't even happened. And yet Enoch knew all about the Lord coming the first time, about His death, His burial, and His resurrection, and the fact that Jesus was going to come again. And in Jude chapter 1 and verse 14 it says this, and Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied these things, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of His saints. That time has not even come yet. Yet it is coming. It's very interesting that this thousands of years before Jesus came, Enoch had the privilege of knowing that Jesus was going to return. During his walk with God, Enoch preached against sin. In Jude chapter 15, I'm going to read verses 14 and 15 together. And Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, to convince all that they are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, of they have ungodly committed, and all their heart speech with the ungodly sinners has spoken against Him. So he was pointing out the sin of humanity. What's our sin? Our sin is that we trust ourselves and not in God. Our sin is we depend on ourselves, not on God. He convinced all ungodly men of their ungodly deeds. When we live for ourselves, we're going for ourselves and not for God. So God wants us to walk with Him. The more we walk with Him, we get to know Him. The more we get to know Him, the more we see ourselves as we are and people as they are. And the more we'll know what's coming in the future. And the more confidence and peace it brings to our heart about the future. If you knew what tomorrow held and you understood it and you accepted it, would it not be easier for you to go through it? And that's the way it is with Enoch. He understood because he spent time walking with God. So he depended on God for all these things. We talked about the beginning of his walk. We've talked about the walk now. Let's talk about the end of his walk. The end of his walk. Notice in chapter 5 of Genesis, verse 24, and he was not, for God took him. For he was not, for God took him. This means Enoch did not die. It was a type of rapture for the church that we'll see one day. It's a flood type of tribulation, going the flood type of thing where you go through the tribulation, but we don't go through the tribulation. Just as they were in the ark, staying from the from not having to go through that, being contained in that. So as Noah was a type of the Jews preserved through the tribulation time, Enoch is a type of Gentile bride caught up before the translation, or I should say before the tribulation period. Enoch didn't go through all that tribulation. He's not going to go through all that tribulation. But Enoch was translated. Remember Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5, which I read just a little bit ago? By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had the testimony that he pleased God. The word translate means this: to be carried across or to be carried away. In other words, he didn't die. He was carried across from death to heaven. I imagine people looked for him. I imagine they scoured the cities and towns for him. I imagine his loved ones were looking for him, but they could not be found in chapter Hebrews 11, verse 5, and it was not found. So that tells me people were looking for him. If you disappeared, somebody would be looking for you too. This means that he was sought for. Those that cared about him looked for him. And then the word came, I'm sure, to them that he wasn't there anymore. He was translated to heaven. There's a reason that he was translated. He had a testimony that he pleased God. I don't know many people who at the end of their lives, it can be said that their statement of life is that they pleased God. If you wanted to put someone's life into one sentence, how many times we make the statement, they pleased God. Their whole reason for here was pleasing God. The whole time they were here, they just walked with God. Now, he didn't do that all of his life. His first 65 years, he didn't do that. But he did it so regularly that it became his testimony. He pleased God. He put his faith in Christ, the one who could take care of us. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, but without faith it's impossible to please him. So we learn that his walk was by faith, but then it became sight. He didn't walk with God because he saw him every day. He walked with him like you and I have to walk with him by faith. Then one day he saw him. So Enoch was a saved man, saved by faith. Because of this, he was raptured. That's where the word take away or the word translated, same thing. It's interesting to note that Enoch was the seventh from Adam. Number seven seems to be the number of completion. Some folks say it's God's perfect number. I don't understand all this stuff about numbers. I'm not going to pretend to. But I'm going to say that it's an interesting fact that he was the seventh from Adam. God chose him to be the seventh man, and he pictured him as the rapture. Because the number of seven is supposed to mean completeness. And when God is completed with his work here of saving people by grace and faith in his church, the church is going to be taken out. That means translated or raptured, just like Enoch was. Then we have the afterwalk. Number four, the afterwalk. We have the beginning of the walk, the end of the walk, now the afterwalk. It's been stated that people are looking for Enoch, and he walked, and he was not, and he couldn't be found. His son Methuselah is an interesting person in the Bible. He lived the longest of all the people on the earth. And the year he died, the flood started. So this could actually mean that God is trying to send a blessing signal through the Father about how to walk for the Son. And ladies and gentlemen, we are supposed to be an example from our children, for our children to follow, so that they know they can walk with the same God that you and I walk with. You and I could have the same. They can have the same relationship that you and I have with God. No doubt, Methuselah, whose name means "when he is dead, it shall be sent," was referring to the flood. God held the flood and the destruction until Methuselah was gone. Methuselah was hereby honored by God because he had a father. He had a father that walked with God. I believe that we can be an extra special blessing to our children. And to the generations that follow us by our walk with God. I believe our walk with God affects the walk of our children, the lives of our children, the lives of those that follow us. I believe that was a blessing that God gave Enoch because He gave Methuselah because Enoch walked with him, got to know him. Listen, it's amazing how special things occur when we get to know somebody. That special relationship we have with other people. Enoch will return to earth again. In his afterwalk, he comes back to earth, I believe, in Revelation chapter 11. Verse 3 through 12, we find two witnesses coming back to the earth during the tribulation period. I believe they're Enoch and Elijah. Two men that never passed away. Some prefer to think it's Moses and Elijah, but Moses did die, and they found his bones. But Elijah and Enoch, they were both men who did not die. And the Bible does say in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it says that it is appointed on the man once to die. So God knows that we're each going to die, and God always keeps His word. But He talks about two witnesses that will come back to this earth and preach. And many will be saved because of these two witnesses. I believe they're going to have to be men of great power who walked with God, who walked in the will of God, who understand the power of God. And God took them out. And I believe those two men were Elijah and Enoch. So let me read it to you. Revelation chapter 11, verses 3 through 13. And I gave power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. They are the two olive trees, the two candlesticks standing before God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devour their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven and rain not in the days of their prophecy. And have power over waters to turn them into blood and smite the earth with plagues, all plagues as often as they will. I know this isn't me, because I'd be smiting people with plagues now. And I know I don't have that kind of constraint to use it wisely, but these two men walk with God in such a way, I believe they have that wisdom, and God gives them that ability. And when they shall finish their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them, and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street, in the great city which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, who also our Lord was crucified, and they of the people and the kindred and the tongue and the nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put into the grave. And they may dwell upon the earth, they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelled on the earth. And after these 3 days and a half, the Spirit from God entered into them, and they stood up upon their feet. And great fear fell upon all them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying, "Come up hither." And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and a tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and a remnant were frightened and gave glory to the God of heaven. What a testimony. That's a big job these guys have. Enoch understood what sin was. We found that out already, didn't he? We found out that he already knows, understands what it is to walk in the will of God. And so here, these two men are testimonies for Jesus Christ. They come. They walk with God. They walk with God. They walk to God. They walk into heaven with God. They've seen the glory and splendor of heaven that we haven't seen yet. And now they come back and they preach the truth. And the world is so convinced and convicted by them that when they die, they don't even take time to bury their body. They let them lay in the street for 3.5 days while the rest of the world throws a party. Woohoo! These two preachers that made life so hard on us, that told us all about ourselves, they're gone. And they're so excited, it's like Christmas. And they give each other gifts and they celebrate. And then suddenly, the Lord puts life into their body and they stand up. And they ascend into heaven. And it's such a convicting power that the heathen world falls before God and give glory to the heaven, to the God of heaven. Amazing statements right there. Why would God choose these two? Because they walked with Him. They walked with Him. I can't tell you, ladies and gentlemen, the importance of your walk with God. It's important we walk with Him, get to know Him, spend time with Him. God loves you. He wants to spend time with you. He wants you to spend time with Him. We spend time with the people we love. We want to spend time with the people we love. We worry about the people we love. We want to talk to the people we love. We want to communicate with the people we love. We want to text the ones we love. We want to email the ones we love. We just want to do goofy, silly, unimportant things with the ones we love. And that's what God wants to do with you and me. So He gives us an illustration. Early in the Bible, as early as chapter number 5, of a man who just walked with God. And one day was so close to heaven, he said, "Come on, let's go to my house instead." As that little girl said. Do you have a walk with God this morning? Are you spending time with Him? If you don't, you can just start one today. It doesn't take any big thing. Just go in your room, go in the restroom, go in your bathroom, go in the kitchen, say, "Hey, how you doing? This is me down here. Just want to say hi. I want to walk with you today. And I may not walk good, but I want to walk with you." And that's how it starts. Just a simple hello. And it begins a wonderful walk that could last the rest of your life. Not only change your life, but those around you. And the eternity of many. Father, we thank You for what we've learned today. We thank You for how simple You make our life for us. Thank You for the honor and the privilege that You've given us to want to walk with us.